Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of the Detour Podcast. The last day for the men, and it's the first day for the women at the Tour de France this year. And recapping the time trial, Iffy, you said, geez, we don't know if Wout van Aert's going to have much left in the tank. He is the most complete bike rider of our generation. There's no...
apologies to Wout for doubting you for one half a second that you wouldn't be up. How ridiculous of me. He won the top trial last year. Why wouldn't I just pick him in the first place? Seriously? He'd probably win today as well. So there you go. I mean, I'm not doubting him ever again.
You struggle for words. We've said it often on this podcast.
I've been talking to a stack of my old racing mates and newer mates who just finished racing, and no one can really come up with the words to describe exactly what he does. It's just breaking all of the so-called norms, rules of cycling, what he does. That old thing about the bucket, pushing the, Pogacar did, too much, cracked. No. Doesn't work for him.
Nah, and geez, hats off to Jonas Vingegaard as well. Like, that was an incredible ride as well.
Matt could have won maybe because he backed off in the last kilometre. He probably lost about 7 or 8 seconds in the last 500 metres. He just cruised that easy to the line. And he only lost by a handful of seconds, like 12 seconds, I think. So, amazing ride. And I'll tell you, we're talking about how much he could lose and whatever. We're forgetting that he actually beat the Pog last year in the final time trial at the Tour. So, he's a class act. And this year he's been stepping up. And I've been reading some stories of what he's been doing in the aerodynamic side of things to improve his time trialing. So I'll tell you, it's going to be a wonderful battle between these two in the years to come. No doubt.
Obviously, from a Aussie perspective, the final time trial, stage here in the Champs-Élysées. I mean, it's a big one for Caleb Ewan. I mean, this year hasn't really gone his way. He had a bit of bad luck at the Giro, came very close to the stage win, got done by a millimetre. How big is today for someone like Caleb?
It's huge. It's huge for him because you know Caleb pretty well and I know him pretty well. And he will be wanting this so much. So he'll leave no stone unturned. He will be in the right spot. Whether he has recovered enough, I mean, Van Aert's going to be, if he's going for it, I can't imagine him not. He won the final stage last year, beating Cav. So we know he's capable, but Jacobson looks to be the freshest of the sprinters at the moment. His ride 2 days ago, was very strong. He was the strongest sprinter by a mile. And so he's in great form and he's very quick. The one he flashed home the other day as well was very, very good. And the one he won was brilliant. So I'd say on form, I reckon he's the man. We'll see. But, it's going to be a wonderful sprint. And Dylan Groenewegen, he is in good form. And they've stuffed up a couple of finishes lately, which he wouldn't be happy with. But he has looked comfortable in getting through those mountain stages, more comfortable than some of the other sprinters. So I put them as the ones. I think Fabio looks a bit, tired. It was a good catch there, mate. What'd you catch?
Oh, the powerboard almost fell off the table.
It's going to be a great final day and a wonderful sprint. And, of course, it's the day one of the women's. It's funny, I was talking to someone today, one of my mates who follows the bikes and the detour.
Yep.
And I said to him, it looks like we could be going to the Vuelta, Vazzy and I. And he said, whoa, gee, you're going to have to step up. Well, he said, Dan, Josie's big. He gets everyone, mate. Yeah, you're going to have to step up.
You'll be fine. You'll get in the mix zone. It'll be easy for you because you'll get in the mix zone. And it's just like a chicken farm. They just keep bringing them along. You'll get everyone.
Yeah, sounds good.
You'll have to continue the ride of the day award, if you. take over a heap
Well, I don't know. We might do something a little bit different, Genghis. I'm trying to get my badges, my special badges that I have, but I was too late. So I have to do one of your tricks, just go and find out what's going around. But, oh, good. No, we'll come up with something special. Yeah.
All right, we've got a couple of live comments. I thought I'd uploaded all the pre-race interviews, but I hadn't. So they're uploading as we speak. Johnny, there's a bit of a delay on those folks, but they're coming. Rick Jagger says, morning lads, Wout Van Aert is more horse than human. Kerry Heffernan says, just in awe of what Wout Van Aert can do. So glad to be alive to witness this amazing generation of cyclists. And the thing is, with the GC side of things, there's still some big names to come back into the fold. You've got Vingegaard and Pogacar, and when we're talking to Geraint Thomas, he's admitted, he's the best of the rest. But there's still a few guys that over the next couple of years, it could be, big 5-year battle at the top.
Yes, there's it's an era of some really special riders. Probably. I can't think of another era that had quite so many of these amazing talents. Back Eddie Merckx and Flamick and Martins back in my day in the 70s were all very special. There was quite a few of them. But this has got, Evenepoel and Van der Poel. And there are different times. I can remember 2 years ago thinking Van der Poel, the way he won after gold, mind-boggling, and everything he was doing, last year's tour, those first few days. But Wout Van Aert has just taken another step, just up one more step. Yeah, just amazing.
Yeah. Byron Wooder says, afternoon, gents. What a great tour has been, and well done, Dan, on the interviews. Yark C says, do you think Caleb has an issue with being boxed in? If he seems to be a situation he's in a lot, maybe he needs a better team to lead him in.
No, I don't think that's really the issue. He chose it to go that way. He likes to surf the wheels, and he's a very good bike handler. He just has struggled. He hasn't had his normal form. He got himself in the wrong spot a couple of times. He's been, looked like he could have won one or two of them. We just, when we got caught with Sagan on the inside against the barricade, and he seemed pumping the. So early on, his form was good, just a bit of bad luck. Then he has struggled. He got crook, a little bit sick, and then he struggled through the mountains. He seems, your interviews with him, he seems to have been up bopping in the last couple of days. So let's just hope he took it very, very easy yesterday. And I think he'll be in the mix. I wouldn't be surprised to see him win at all. Wouldn't be surprised.
A couple more live comments. Tony Lawton says, was Jonas slightly reckless yesterday? If he had a crash, he could have lost it all. Because we were just going to sit up or go. But
no, but he did. He was 10 tenths. One of those descents, if you look at, I think the Lentil Ruse has been highlighting it. It was close. And if he had lost, he would have gone over the edge. So it could have been all over. That's true, but he's a racer. He's going for it. It was fantastic. I wonder what was said in that last couple of K, because he definitely backed off the last couple of K when they said, look, you're done now. It wasn't dangerous anymore. You didn't have to back off because of danger. They just said, you're very close to well, I reckon he almost gave it to him.
Yeah. No, that's what it definitely looked like. Yeah. And I saw another good photo on social. Jack Bauer, he saw the motorbike driver. They patched things up, said good day, said sorry. I think he's given him looks like a jar of honey.
I don't know the significance of that. It's a sticky situation, I guess. But, I felt for that motorbike rider. He didn't do much wrong. It was a real combination of stuff. With the road narrowing and an accident happening just in front, I didn't see what happened with that one, which meant that Poggy's team, had to brake, and the motorbike, soon dived into the position right as with somebody flying through. So it's just a really awkward situation. But Jack, you know, at the last second, I'm telling you now, Jack, it was a wonderful interview where he talked about with that long when he was having a few reds when he was talking to you, or in the red, that's right, he's in the red. At that last second, he realised, I'm going to hit the car. And he turned himself sideways, hit it sideways. He saved himself a lot of hurt.
Yeah, 100%. Another comment, Wendy Superfan, hi Dan and John, Jonas and Wout and Poggy were phenomenal. So exciting to see these young men give their all with so much respect for each other. Looking forward to the next 10 years.
Now, 100%. Wendy is, you know, she's a legend, but she can't be going Poggy. It's only Dan who can call him Poggy. We're going to go the Pog.
Well, we're going to try and definitely get him at the start line today. And I've got an extra roux in my kit. So I think I'll give it to Poggy to say, look, this is purely from the fans for making this year's tour just one of the best.
I've got a question for you, Dan.
Yes.
Who's getting the big roux?
Jonas. So we've got it. It's sitting right here. So, but we're going to get rid of it.
I just wonder. You almost need two, mate. I'd give it to Wout.
I know. But what I think is, if you look at the vision yesterday on the podium, there's a photo of Jonas on the podium, and his son there is obviously a big fan of the yellow line. So maybe I give it to his son before he goes on the podium, and you know, he can give this to his son. He'll love it.
So
we'll definitely have a crack. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in the final. Let's take a quick drinks break, and then those clips should be uploaded by the time we get back. So we had a grab with Matt White, Neil Stevens, Steve Cummings, and we presented the ride of the day to Fred Wright, who's a big character of the tour as well. So plenty more to come on the detour. Stay tuned.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? But it's not. It's a bike. 374 people are looking at this guy, this girl, them, all looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs, semi-amateurs, and pro-amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank and these bars. This could be the perfect match. But not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Thanks again to Bike Exchange. Go to bikeexchange.com.au for all your bike needs, road bike, mountain bike, and they've got a sale on e-bikes at the moment. Iffy, no excuses. Get along. And that's where you're going to get the next deal.
Bikes, bike bits, anything to do with cycling, bikeexchange.com.au, and they will have some place near you where you can get the best possible deal. It's a wonderful, wonderful website.
Now, what happens is when you get to the end of a tour, you have like moments where your brain's not sharp. You know, it's been a long tour and you let things slip. And this is why I love the Detour fans, is they pick up on bits where you slip. It's a girl. Jonas has a daughter. Jonas Charles is a girl, not son. And then Kay Yee says Jonas Charles is a daughter. Spoke of his girl's girlfriend and daughter. So that saved me a lot of embarrassment.
Handed
the ruse. So.
Oh, well. Is he? He's not Russian. Danish.
Yeah, that's right. The clips are just processing Iffy, so they'll be ready very soon. Before we go to that, let's have a quick look at the lineup for the Tour de France Femmes for the Bike Exchange Jayco team. Solid squad. Obviously, they're going to be riding in support of Kristen Faulkner, and Amanda Spratt will be up there. They've got Ruby Roseman-Gannon for the flats, and Alex Manley is obviously coming in great form as well.
Yeah, she had a chance to get the first yellow jersey, I believe, between her and Ruby, Rose McGowan. They're a big chance in today's opening stage. It's going to be interesting because you've got everyone's here. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. Balsamo, the world champion, Marianne Vos, Emma Norsgaard, Lottie Capecchi, Lorena Weebs, she's going really quick. But I put Alex Manley a chance in with all of those. So it'd be wonderful to get that first yellow jersey.
And speaking of quick, I see Blake Quick signed for Green Edge or Bikers.
Yes, so the two winners of the Lexus Blackburn Bay Quits have both signed with, there we are, they both are jumping at the top of the car and they both signed with Bike Exchange Jayco. So it's a big step up for Blake Quick, but we know he's quick.
That's it.
Quick, my name and nature. So, it'll be fantastic. Yeah, and then some other good signings too. You know, Amber Pate, Elise Politz, really good bike riders, and Rudy Porter, who's been going really well. He's also signed. So, yeah.
All right, the video is ready to go. So this is Steve Cummings and Matt White before the start from yesterday. Enjoy. Matt White, yesterday stage, obviously we're expecting a bunch kick. Almost there. What were your takeaways?
Well, we knew it would be a really difficult one to control yesterday. It was the last roll of the dice for a lot of teams who hadn't won a stage. We put everything into it, along with the other sprint teams. We caught the break on the finish line, but Laporte was just too strong. Perfect timing as he clipped off the front and won the stage and left the sprinters high and dry.
First French winner for the Tour this year.
First French winner for the Tour. Not the first win for Jumbo-Visma, that's for sure. But they've been a very, very impressive outfit for the entire 3 weeks.
Obviously, it's all chips in for a win, hopefully, on the Champs-Élysées tomorrow. But anything you're expecting from the time trial today?
No, not at all. It's, you know, Schulze will give 100% today. For it to hold down his general classification place and also go through the process of his development as a GC rider to go through the motions as doing a TT. The TTs at the end of Grand Tours are really tough, mentally and physically. The rest of the boys will be just cruising today because obviously we've got one very big target coming tomorrow afternoon.
Must be a more enjoyable day for the staff as well when there isn't that GC pressure on a day like today.
Yeah, the atmosphere around us compared to Jumbo Visma will be quite different, I think, today. They'll probably go 1-2. But no, our best time trialer is obviously Luke Durbridge, who's not here. But the rest of the guys, our priority is to give Dylan the best chance to win tomorrow. So nothing to do today except get through the time cut nice and safe and with one eye on Champs-Élysées.
And a nice little French cheese platter in the background there, Whitey.
Yeah, which is our lunch, having a bit of a snack out the front here. We've got plenty of time between when the races come on this afternoon. So it's always a tricky one because we're changing hotels morning and night of a time trial day. So we left our hotel this morning, 100k away, and then after here we're doing a big transfer up towards Paris.
All right, well, all the best today and a big one tomorrow.
Yeah, cheers, thanks, mate.
Steve Cummings, time trial day today. What about Filippo Ganna? How do you rate his chances?
Good. he's got a good chance, hasn't he? Obviously world champion. He's feeling the fatigue. It's his first tour, but he's going to give everything, yeah.
I suppose that's a big question. How much these 3 weeks have taken out of the tank, and you know, given you guys have been present every stage of this year's tour,
yeah.
How has he recovered? Do you think?
We don't know. We don't know because he did say he never imagined the tour would be this hard. So it's been really hard. Like, it's just been hard for everyone. A really hard tour. Like the weather conditions, obviously really hot. We've had a lot of tail crosswind, which made it even more hard. And then really intense racing. Only two bunch sprints so far. So, he's feeling it, but he's a big boy. He's a big, big, strong lad. So let's see how it goes today.
Now, the Tour de France for you guys, we caught up with Geraint yesterday and, obviously really proud of the race so far. Looking back, is there anything that you could have tweaked, do you think, or do you think way your own?
Yeah, of course. I think we've maximised the GC with G, absolutely. So very proud of that, the way the teams come together. We're very proud. But always there's things you can improve. I've got some ideas. And after this, we'll sit down and go over it and do a proper review, what was good, what was bad. And now, well, what was good? What can be better? What can be better? Let's say that, and then try and improve for next year.
On those ideas, do you want to give us an Australian TV exclusive, Steve?
I just think more of the same, but just trying to do the basics better. I think we can always improve on the basics. Things are always changing. Diets, nutrition on the bike, simple stuff that really makes a big difference at the Tour de France. So we'll look at all that stuff. And then also, like, some of the riders have got less experience, so we can sort of help them and learn where they can improve and move better in the race. I think at times we could have moved better in the race. Even though we moved really well as a team, I think there are times we could have moved better, and that would have helped us from a results perspective. And we, like every team really, you always get your share of bad luck. And I've had three guys who've been sick, which limited us a little bit. And it wasn't a question really of what we wanted. It's more like what we could do. But the lads, as I say, they've all committed 100%, so we can't really ask any more.
And in terms of exciting prospects, I mean, Tom Pidcock, what a Tour de France for him, and what a stage win on Alpe d'Huez.
Yeah, no, it was actually a really cool stage. My favourite stage. I think what was so cool, it was obviously the downhill was really technical, so he showed off his technical skills, and then I think it was the hardest. I'd have to check, but I think it was the most altitude meters in the race. And yeah, Alpe d'Huez is iconic, so to win that stage for Tom was exceptional, also for the team, and the way he did it as well was really nice. And then Castro as well. Castro was second on the stage, and all the other lads have been fighting, like I say. So I think it's been a good tour.
Well, congratulations on the tour so far, and good luck today, mate.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Why didn't Steve Cummings there? It was a good interview, I thought.
Yeah, very good.
Steve speaks really well. But
he was trying. He was looking for an exclusive for you, but he just couldn't find one.
He thought, do I want to get in trouble or not?
Yeah.
Nah, probably not. That's fair enough. But, what can you do? Like, to tweak stuff, as he said, it's going to be those little minute things, but it's not going to make the gap up when you've got Pogacar and Vingegaard. So, they'll be scratching pens, they'll be doing calculations, but you could have to strap yourself in for the next decade, I reckon. But anyway, funny things happen. Now we've got to grab with Neil Stevens and the ride of the day winner, Fred Wright.
Neil Stevens, obviously only a couple of stages left to go of the tour, reflection time. What have you made of this year's Tour de France, mate?
Yeah, it's sort of a bit of a funny tour for us. We've been sort of knocking on the door lots of days. We've been giving it a bit of a go, you know. It's not as if we had any days we've sort of not worried about it. Maybe Alpe d'Huez we sort of we didn't really have much of a go. But, we've come up with nothing, really. With Jack leaving the tour, then later Damiano, the two big leaders leaving the tour, really affected us. We tried to come back and go for a result, but it just didn't happen.
And Fred Wright, obviously we talked about him pretty much every day. But, you know, exciting prospect moving forward on and off the bike.
Yeah, no, he's a ripper. I think I told you as a mate about a year ago that he's a good young fella. He's got a good sporting career ahead of him. He's really good in the tour, but he's performed well in the classics. He's going to go far in the world of sport, and as a bloke, he's a really nice young bloke. He's a very caring person, and he's a good friend as well. And so I wish him all the best.
I want to ask you finally, the dominance of Pogacar and Vingegaard at this year's race. You look at someone like Geraint Thomas, tactically ridden a pretty solid race, and what, he's 8 minutes down. How does this affect a lot of teams when they go, maybe we go for the Giro and Vuelta? Do they plan around these guys, or does it not really affect anything?
I think there's two things that I look at when I look at the dominance of a couple of teams and a few riders. I think as a cycling fan, I sit back and say, that was fantastic. What fantastic racing we had. In fact, in the day up Hautacam a couple of days ago, I would have rather stay back in the hotel and watch the stage, because it makes for fantastic racing for the cycling fans. On the other side, on the rivalry type side, or on the sporting side, I think that the way that these teams are working, it really, they're setting the benchmark. They know we have to keep on working harder than ever into where they're going. when you look at Jumbo Visma a few years ago. I was on the few technical directors went to Japan together, and they talked about a plan that they had. They talked about a project they had. They were working with all these young guys, and they were working with nutritionists and with coaches and that sort of stuff. And this is a result of a plan like that. And so there's a few teams that are falling a bit behind as far as their technology is going and as far as their work's going. But I think when a couple of teams come along and dominate, as Ineos or Sky did a few years ago, it really is a reminder to us we have to work just that little bit harder.
Well, thanks for checking in throughout the tour, Sheriff. It's always been a pleasure, and we'll see you at the Vuelta, mate.
No, I'm going home for a bit of family time now. I'm actually slipping off after the time trial today. My house in Spain's not that far from here. And I've got a bit of a light program. So I'm doing San Sebastian, Plouay, a couple of races in Canada, and that's a bit of quality time at home with the kids.
Well, enjoy the break, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Well, we've got a very special presentation. Ride of the day for SBS Sport, and it goes to Fred Wright. Mate, you may not have technically won a stage, but you have in the hearts of all the viewers, particularly from Australia. How does it make you feel?
Thank you very much. It's an honour. I mean, I didn't realise I'd be winning such a nice gift for my efforts yesterday. I think, yeah, I didn't get the red numbers, but this is
better
this
than
is
the
way
red.
Better, yeah,
way
this
better.
Is way better. Way better.
Mate, it's been a fantastic tour, not just for yourself, but I think it's not just what you do as a rider, but off the bike as well. And you saw the reaction after the finish line, particularly from people in the UK. Mate, you got a cult following.
It's good. I mean, yeah, I think I kind of speak. My girlfriend said to me yesterday, she said it's weird because I think people... more people think that they know you, you know, like,
yeah.
I think maybe that's just the way I just say it how it is. I don't know.
It's so refreshing for the viewers at home, but also the way you ride and how aggressive you are. You know, you've been so close. You must have a lot of confidence from this year's tour moving forward. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it'll happen at some point. You know, whether it's, you know, no matter how many, I don't know how many wins I'm gonna get in my career, but. Yeah, there'll be a big one at some point, I'm sure of it.
And there is a hidden agenda with that, Roo. That's a down payment to see you Tour Down Under next year, mate.
Ah, okay.
The fans want you there.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, then maybe I've got to be there.
All right, mate. Well, we're looking forward to it. Congratulations and great tour, mate. You've really done a sensational job.
Thank you for this gift.
No worries, mate.
Cheers. Thank you.
Fred Wright, legend. But no, great insights there, particularly with Neil when we were asking him about what do teams do, you know, around the GC. Do you do the window or the bookend around the tour now to try and win a grand tour, or do you just keep going all chips in trying to take on the big dogs? It'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, that was a very good question, actually, through it, Neil, and quite relevant. A lot of teams have been looking at that. I mean, no doubt Bike Exchange put Simon Yates into the Vuelta, into the Giro. Mm. They put him in the Tour first if they thought he could win the Tour. Mm. And I think it's changing. After his great time trial win at the Giro, they realised, well, actually, he could be in the mix. Biggest challenge they would have, Bike Exchange, Jayco, if Simon was to be sent for the tour, is to build a team strong enough around him. So the only way you could do it would be a bit like first Pogacar one, where slip into Paris in your slippers type thing. Save it all to ride the last couple of days because they wouldn't have a team strong enough at the moment to support Simon to have an all-in go against the likes of Pogacar and Vingegaard.
Sorry, I thought we had a bit of an internet issue. I think that's at my end. That's right.
It's gone dark here because of the reflection light. It's getting later in the day, so I just see black hole.
It's going to be pitch black in a second. A couple of last-minute live questions, Carolyn. Will the Ruby making it on the podium, fingers crossed? We don't know. We're going to try to give it to Jonas' daughter. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Mark says, great work, Jonesy, on the ground. Look forward to each day's eps. Thanks for the support, mate. Matt Claridge says, please say hi to Neve, my five-year-old, who is watching with me on our Sunday morning in southeast England. She wants a roo. G'day to Neve.
G'day, Neve. How are you, darling?
get to the Vuelta if you'll have a big bag of roos or koalas,
yeah,
or whatever.
We'll work something out. I'm going to work out a plan. I can't just copy you. I've got to come up with a few iffy specials or JT specials, but look, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. So we're just about finalising things. Now, I was going to say, I'm thinking of, because it's because we're not staying with the team as such, well, Vazzy and I are going to be looking after ourselves, still we're working with the team, but because of the COVID situation, we won't be actually in the hotel like we were at the Giro, which is a shame, but we'll catch them every day and be following them. But there's an opportunity where we could take a couple of guests. So if a couple of people would like to come along and join us on the Vuelta for a week. Now pick out any week during 4 or 5 days, up to 7 days in the middle. We'll get them as our offsiders. And so people can...
exclusive to viewers of the podcast.
Yeah, exclusive to D2 viewers. Come on board for the world. So you have to be say 3 weeks away. So pick a week, especially for the people who are over in Europe. Come and join us. Be a special opportunity.
Well, how do they get in touch with you then, John?
Well, like an email. We'll track my email up there. john@cyclingevents.com.au.
.com.au.
Or social media. You know, yeah, that's it there.
Yeah.
If you're interested, can bring a friend, so two, so we'll just book an extra room. So we need to start organising that. But there is a special opportunity. So,
there you go. Matt Clary says, Fred has lit it up for the tour for the Brits. May a most attacking rider. Great choice for Roo, who should be called Hoppy, says Nick. There you go. Nolsey, no doubt about you, Dan. Get all the big hitters. Awesome podcast yet again. We should get some good grabs from the start today, and we're going to head down to the Tour de Femmes start at the Eiffel Tower because it's a great circuit. Starts at the Eiffel Tower and finishes on the Champs-Élysées. So what a way to kick things off.
Say hello to Jerry. He'll be down there.
Yep. And yep. Last one, Dale Simmons says, hopefully the Roo will become famous like Fatso the Wombat from Sydney 2000, thanks to Roy and HD. well, if it does get on the podium, people will be talking about it. They're going to go, where'd that come from? So,
yeah,
we'll see.
But, koala. Yeah. I'm going to come up with a koala. No, it's cuddly koala. Like people love a koala.
All right. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow, guys, to recap the final day of the men's race and the women's race. So that'll be at 4 p.m.
Well, why four? Well,
yeah, no, we should go five.
Five. It's better for everyone, I reckon. There's nothing stopping us. We're the women's races too. We should go five, I reckon. Yep.
Yep. All right.
Yep. Sounds good. Awesome.
And you can pack a light for tomorrow as well, Iffy.
Yes.
Yes. To light a match.
Hang on. Yeah. I've got my... Here we go.
Yeah, perfect. Just in time as we wrap things up. All right, guys. Thank you again for all the support. Hopefully we had some good grabs today and we'll recap everything tomorrow. So stay tuned then. See you then, Iffy.
Be there, be square.
Yep.